Remain standing and take your copy of God's Word and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and this morning I want to talk to you about generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse number 6. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seeds you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You may be seated. This past couple of weeks, you may have seen in the news about a waitress receiving a $10,000 tip after the customer ordered two glasses of water. Don't you wish you were that waitress? Now, some of us would look at that and would say, you know, wow, what a generous gift. I mean, that's just generosity. I mean, he or she, whoever it was, didn't have to do that, but they did. And certainly we could categorize that as generosity. It certainly impacted the waitress's life. She didn't expect it. It was really overwhelming to her. The pictures I saw of her, and, you know, it kind of was, is this real? Can this really be happening to me? You know, it was one of those surreal experiences for her. And so when we think about the aspect of generosity, let me ask you this question. What's the most generous thing you have ever done? Well, think about that. What is the most generous thing you have ever done? Now, let me ask you a follow-up question. Was it really generosity? Or did you do it because you just felt guilty about something? Because sometimes people give because they start feeling guilty. Or was it truly in response to how God has blessed you, and you just, you know, I want to bless this other person? Now, I've been around a number of our members, and we have some very generous people. We do. We have people in our church who have helped people who are in need that in ways that really blesses me as a pastor to see our people taking this seriously about helping others when they're in need. And to the degree that they have done this sometimes is mind-boggling, and they don't want anybody to know. They don't want any credit for it. They wouldn't tell you. They wouldn't let you know if it was the last word that they were to speak. They wouldn't tell you. Why? Because this is something that was very significant to them to do, because they truly felt God led them to do it. And really, when it comes down to generosity, and even as we talk about this, it's time and pack tomorrow today, we told you last week, this is a spiritual journey. And really, we as God's people, we are to be a channel of blessing. We are to allow God to use us to bless others. We are to allow God to use us to bless his church in order to impact others in the community. And when we talk about, as we presented last week, the challenge before us, the opportunity before us, however you want to couch it, really, God can do, as the scripture tells us, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that worketh in us. So what's that power that works in us? Well, let me just start by telling you, it's resurrection power. The song we just sang about, it's the cross and then the resurrection. That's the power that works in us. And when we think about this idea of generosity, oftentimes we put God in a box. Oftentimes we think, well, I sure would like to do that. Well, then why don't you? I sure would like to help that person, but I just don't know. Well, why don't you? If God laid it on your heart, why not? Why not do that? There have been times in mine and Brenda's life through the years in ministry that people would come to us and say, you know, God has laid on our heart to do X for you. And, I mean, everything, we've had people come to our door, give us a card, and there'd be a check in there for $1,000. We've had people, friends that don't attend this church, just say, you know, God laid on our heart, we want to bless you guys and give you X. You say, preacher, that's because you're the preacher. Because you're a preacher and a pastor, you're one of God's favorites. I'm not any more of a favorite than God. If you're living right with God, you're his favorite too. And he'll do the same in your life as he's done in our life. You say, preacher, well then how come can you tell these stories? Well, I'm not going to go into any detail, but there have been times in our life where Brenda would come and says, Don, I just feel like, actually she calls me Dr. Reverend Don, but I'm kidding. I know you know I'm kidding now. I'll move away from the pulpit now. Okay. But there's been times she's come to me, she said, honey, I just feel like we need to help so-and-so. And then I would ask her, how much do you think we need to help so-and-so? And she would give me a number, and I'm going, did you really pray about this? And she said, I really feel like, and we've done that. There's been times I've gone to her and say, you know, we know so-and-so, and they're going through a difficult time, and I think we ought to help them. And she says, I agree with that. So when we read about this principle of generosity, first of all, we know God's word is true. First of all, we know God's word is true. All right? I need to run this one more time because we got one person priming the pump. Now we have several priming the pump. We believe God's word is true. Okay? So when we look at God's word, and God's word says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we see, first of all, when we talk about generosity, there's a principle that is reviewed here. And this principle here is the principle of the law of sowing and reaping. Notice what he says. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now, I don't necessarily subscribe or believe that we ought to give to get. I believe we ought to give out of obedience because God lays it on our heart, because we have a heart. If we're to be like Christ and be transformed, to be, the Bible says in Romans, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. There should be a willingness in our heart and in our life to help others. Amen. When you read about Jesus, what did Jesus do when he walked this earth? He touched the lives of others. And so when Paul's writing here, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he mentions the Macedonians, that perhaps they would come because he has already been to them. You go to chapter 8 and you read verse 1 and you find out how that Paul had gone to Macedonia and how he talks about out of their poverty they gave. So don't ever let it be said, well, I just can't afford to do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You see, it was out of their poverty that they gave much. Now, he's not talking about necessarily the amount. You know the story of the widow's mite? Jesus is sitting there, and as those came through and put their offerings in, and this little widow comes, she gives her two mites, and Jesus said, she's given more than all of the rest. Why? Because she gave all she had. And here Paul in chapter 8 refers to the Macedonians. Now, he's writing to the Corinthians, and he says in verse 5, he says, I'm sending the brothers ahead to help you prepare your generous gift. And he goes on to tell them, and it's talking about their testimony, lest the Macedonians come and they be disappointed because we have talked about you and how God's blessed you and how you're faithful. He talks about all those things. And here, he's now getting to the point where he's trying to remind them, here's the principle here. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. You ever find yourself, you know, the Bible says in James that they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So I wouldn't advise comparing yourself to somebody else within the family. You know, I used to tell my boys, you know, they would talk about, well, he gets to do this. Well, he's this. I said, those that compare themselves among themselves aren't wise. What did Jesus tell Peter and John about the Apostle John when he said, well, what's he going to do? And he said, go feed my sheep. And finally, Jesus said, well, Peter, what's it to you? Just obey me. You follow me. Don't worry about what John's going to do. And when it comes to this area of giving, have you ever found yourself to the place where you go, you know, well, I wish I had what they had. You know, if I had the money they had, I'd give too. Can I tell you that maybe the reason why you don't have the money they have is because you haven't started giving? Because you haven't started being generous? It really gets quiet on these topics when you talk about money, doesn't it? Because what does he say? He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. But he that sows, what does it say? Bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, you know, most of you know, maybe a few of our guests don't know, but I'm quite the gardener. Sometimes. You know what I found out? If I plant 4 tomato plants, I'm going to get the yield of 4 tomato plants. But there's something. Now, this is deep. Y'all stay with me, all right? If I plant 12 tomato plants, which I did this past year, I got nearly 3 times the yield I got with 4. That's deep. I know that. Stay with me now. He that sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Yeah, I found out that the more things that I plant in my garden, the more vegetables I get. It's just amazing. It astonishes me. Well, first of all, it really does astonish me that I get anything that I'm planting anyway, but it's just a simple principle, the law of sowing and reaping. And Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Press down, shake together, run of shall, what does it say? Shall men give to your bosom? It's interesting to me that Jesus didn't say that God will give to you, even though God will not be a debtor to any man, God will bless you. But you know, God chooses to bless us through other people. He does. God chooses to bless His church and meet to His church through His people. Your brother back here was last week. He came out and said, "I heard Jack Graham say." He said, "You know, we have a need, and the good news is, we have the money to meet that need. The bad news is." The money's in your pocket. Oh, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
So when we look at this principle, he says, "But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he that sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." Just stop right there. How are you going to know how to purpose in your heart what to give? Are you going to sit down and figure out what you can do? Are you going to seek the Lord and find out what he wants you to do? You know, because most of us, if we sit down and look at our balance in our checking account, look at the bills that we have coming due, look at the income we have coming in, most of us would say, you know, I probably ought to reap sparingly here. So sparingly. Because I will tell you, most of the time it doesn't add up on paper. It just doesn't. You see, I don't know that God does math the same way we do math. You say, how do you say that? God knows everything. Yeah, let me give you an example. You remember a little story on a hillside about a little boy with five loaves and a few fishes here? Yeah. And he comes up, has this to offer, and what does Jesus do? He blesses it, breaks it. Now, keep in mind, this was a lunch prepared for this little boy. So what he blessed was what this little boy had for his lunch to feed a little boy. And Jesus took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. Now, my wife's good at making food go a long ways when we have three teenage boys at home. No way she can feed 5,000 people with it, though. See, that's the God factor. That's the difference in what we can do and what we can figure out and what God can do through us. Amen. Because what does he say? He says, so let each one of us, as he purposes in his heart, give. That's how we're to give. We seek the Lord. We find out what he wants us to do, and then we're obedient to him. And it says, not grudgingly or of necessity. That's what I said. We don't give to get. And we pray and we seek the Lord. And when God lays something on our heart to do, we do it not because, well, okay, God, you want me to be obedient, so here you go. No. Because he goes on to say, God loves a cheerful giver. I don't know, humanly speaking, outside of what God has done in our life through salvation and what he does to our life in blessing us, but I'll tell you, one of the awesome blessings of life is when you help somebody when they didn't expect it, they didn't know what they were going to do, and they're just blown away. And you're able to say, well, you can just thank the Lord for that one because he led me to do that. And it's also an opportunity to share the goodness of God. So when we think about this principle, we ought to be people who sow bountifully each and every day of our life. And specifically, when it comes to the house of God and the things of God and what we are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You get down to the latter verses in this passage, and he talks about how they are about the gospel of Christ. He goes on to say, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God delights in us when we give cheerfully. God loves to see his children give. Now, we shouldn't give out of performance. We always should give out of obedience, out of what God places in our heart and purposes in our heart that we should give. Always. we always live in obedience to Him. And when we live in obedience to Him, let me tell you what will happen. You won't give grudgingly. And you won't give out of necessity because He's going to supply your need. You don't give because not that you first loved Him, but that He first loved you. So there's the principle review. Secondly, there's providential reliance. You see, when we give in obedience to God, we are exercising our belief and our trust in what God can do. There's providential reliance. We're relying on God to do what He says He will do. And let me tell you, there's one thing God cannot do, the Bible says. You say, well, preacher, I thought God can do anything. There's one thing He cannot do. He cannot lie. So if God cannot lie, and He says He's going to supply your need, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you give in obedience, He's going to supply your need. Notice what he says, verse 8. And you ought to just underscore these three words, not the word and, but these three. God is able. And there's a whole sermon right there. God is able. We're not able, but God is able. What is He able to do? To make all grace abound towards you. Now, how would He do that? Why would He do that? Well, because we have sought Him. We're giving in obedience to Him. We're not giving grudgingly or out of necessity. We're giving because He's placed it in our heart and we purpose in our heart. And we give in abundance to Him and for Him and allow Him to work through us. And in that, He said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you that you always having all sufficiency in most things. Nope. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. You see, when we give and we are obedient to God, He's going to make sure that we have all sufficiency in all things, so in the next good work that comes up where there's a need, that we're still going to have plenty to give and we can give more, and we allow Him to use us as a channel of blessing and a channel of giving. There's providential reliance. We know we can't do it on our own. We have to depend upon God and trust God. Let's move on to verse number 9. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiplied, notice this, the seed you have sown. You get that? The seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. There's providential reliance. Lastly, there's positive results. You see, because when we give, as God has commanded us to give first of all, and secondly, as He lays on our heart to give over and above, and we purpose to be obedient, and God, I just want to be used of you, however you want to use what you've given me, however you want to bless others with what you've given me, I'm yours, you use me, however you do it, and I will follow your leading. And He says, here's the results. First of all, the end of verse 11, again, which causes thanksgiving through us, God. Can we tell you what the positive result is? When we allow God to use us and we bless others and we give as we purposed, others will give thanksgiving to God. Others will praise God because of our obedience and because of our giving. Verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, so it meets the needs of the saints, the church, And he goes on, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God. You see, it makes him realize it's a testimony to the goodness of God and God's faithfulness. He goes on, for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, that's the first part. And we've told you what we're all about is the gospel of Christ. But then he goes on to say, and for your liberal sharing. What does he mean by liberal sharing? He's talking about their generosity. He's talking about their bountiful sowing. And he goes on with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. They pray for you. They long to see you. They're thankful to God for you because of the grace and how you blessed them. And then he finishes it off with, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let me close with this. Three things happen when we give in obedience. First of all, the givers are enriched. Once again, you can go back to verses 9, 6 through 10 and read that. The givers are enriched. Secondly, the receivers' needs are met. Verses 11 and 12. And thirdly, God, the source of all blessing, is praised. Verses 13 through 15. Once again, the givers are enriched, the needs of the receivers are met, and God, the source of all blessing, is praised. Amen. The greatest gift that was ever given was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ demonstrated his love. God demonstrated his love through Jesus Christ on the cross. And we as his people, when we talk about we love God, and Paul said, not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. He loved you, he loved me. And the greatest gift was that gift that was given on the cross, Jesus Christ. My friend, if you've never received that gift, I trust that you'll do so today. If you are a follower of Christ and you've received that gift, why wouldn't we be obedient? Why wouldn't we seek the Lord? Why wouldn't we give bountifully? Why wouldn't we be a channel blessing to others because of what Christ has done in our life? We're to be a generous people. God loves a cheerful giver. And as we continue to go through this journey, in this process of seeking the Lord and what he would have us to do related to our capital stewardship campaign, seek the Lord and be obedient to him. As we said last week, when he lays a number on your heart, don't give a dime more, don't give a dime less. Just give as he leads you and as he guides you. He'll bless you. He'll meet your needs. With heads bowed and eyes closed.